And another one gone, and another one gone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. Another bank bites the dust. Florida's Bank United will reopen today with new owners after becoming the 34th bank to fold this year. Marketplace's Janet Babin joins us from North Carolina Public Radio. Janet, how big a collapse is this?
Well, Bill, this is the biggest bank failure the government's had to deal with so far this year. The bank had 85 branches, more than 1,000 employees, and it had $13 billion in total assets, so a pretty big bank.
So how do you go from $13 billion in assets to zilch?
Well, up until 2007, the bank was doing pretty well. Bank United was profitable, really, and it was a residential mortgage lender. What got it to zilch, I think, is that a few years ago, it started to add a large number of those option adjustable rate mortgages to its balance sheet. These are those infamous loans that let borrowers decide how much principal they're going to repay every month.
Yes.
And sure enough, a huge number of those loans started to default last year. And by March, Bank United had racked up more than $2 billion worth of delinquent loans. And the government says that's what did the bank in.
What happens to Bank United now?
Well, the FDIC sold it for $900 million to a group of private equity investors, including the Blackstone Group and the Carlyle Group. Now, the branches will open today as usual, so depositors are, of course, protected. But some of the bank's branches are expected to be closed by the new owners, and some of the employees will most likely be laid off.
Is this going to cost taxpayers money?
Well, perhaps in the long run, but really the FDIC gets the money for these closures by charging all banks certain fees that are usually passed on to depositors in one way or another. The FDIC has set aside $22 billion this year to cover bank losses. And so far, the agency says it's used up about $10 billion.
Marketplace's Janet Babin at North Carolina Public Radio. Thanks, Janet.
You're welcome, Bill.
Those billions of dollars Janet mentioned, they're not worth what they used to be. The dollar is at a four-month low today. After a troubling week, the Fed lowered its outlook for the U.S. economy. A credit rating agency lowered its outlook for the United Kingdom. Investors are wondering whether the U.K. and the U.S. are about to lose their AAA credit ratings. Asian markets were mostly lower today. The Dow lost 130 points yesterday, closed at 8,292. European shares are somewhat higher, though. British Airways reported this morning it suffered the biggest loss in its history. In the fiscal year that ended in March, the airline lost about $600 million. There may be a silver lining for the company, as Stephen Beard reports from London.
BA calls the figures an excellent reflection of just how bad the global economy has become. The airline's usually most lucrative sector was hit particularly hard. Business and first class traffic fell by 13%. Cargo and economy class were also down. The airline sees no signs of recovery in any of its markets this year or next. But aviation analyst Howard Wealdon says BA could now win approval for its planned alliance with American Airlines.
Given the intrinsic weaknesses in the airline industry, I think the regulators will see this as the right way to go forward. I'm sensing that there's a better expectation that this time this alliance will forge through.
BA can also look forward to lower fuel costs this year after last year's $4.5 billion bill. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. American Public Media presents The Next American Dream. What will it look like? Find out more at nextamericandream.org.
Atlantic City is on a losing streak these days. Profits at New Jersey casinos fell 38% last quarter. It's not because nobody's gambling. Trouble is, gambling is up in the state next door. The latest Pennsylvania competition opens to the public today in Bethlehem, PA, a casino in what used to be the Bethlehem Steel Plant. Preservationists say it's not just a betting house, it's also a showcase for America's industrial history. Joel Rose has our story.
The casino is officially called the Sands Casino Resort Bethlehem, but when this was a working plant, it went by a shorter name.
You didn't work at Bethlehem Steel, you worked at Steel. Okay, that was how this is referred to.
Charlie Martin worked at the Steele for 40 years as an engineer. Now he's a consultant for the National Museum of Industrial History, which is renovating this former electrical shop. When Bethlehem Steel declared bankruptcy 8 years ago, it left behind a toxic landscape with cavernous workshops and rusting equipment. Martin says that scared off a lot of developers, but not the Sands.
Someone had to come along with deep pockets to take on the chore of the initial redevelopment of the site, and they seem to be able to do it.
Since buying the site 2 years ago, Sands has poured $740 million into a brand new casino. Company officials weren't available to comment for this story, but when they applied for a state gaming license, they did talk a lot about preserving the most visible structures on the site, including the iconic 20-story blast furnaces.
If those furnaces begin to decay, and they will in the open air without use, they're going to be dangerous to visitors.
Howard Gillette teaches history at Rutgers University in Camden. He says Bethlehem is the ideal place to chart the rise and fall of the steel industry.
But you can't really interpret those buildings unless they're preserved, and that's where the rub is going to come. There's going to have to be more money, and where will it come from, I'm not sure.
The Sands has donated land to the city and local nonprofits. So far, preservationists seem to be giving the casino the benefit of the doubt. Ted Harlan is the Industrial Museum's CFO.
What we've seen and heard, many of their actions are certainly headed towards preservation. Whether the financial and economic realities allow them to do that, we don't know.
Sands officials have talked about reusing some older factory buildings for retail and residential projects, but for now, those plans are on hold. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
How's your hometown reacting to the recession? Let us know when you visit us at marketplace.org. You'll find our whiteboard videos explaining this financial mess, and you can also share your own story. Click on the link that says Contact. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.